This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In 2009, 3 days before Halloween, a grisly crime stunned the seaport town of Anacortes, Washington.
I can only describe it as evil.
From 48 Hours, this is Trained to Kill, the dog trainer, the heiress, and the bodyguard.
He couldn't control his obsession.
Who was the hunter and who was the hunted? Follow and listen to Trained to Kill on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Then it comes down to Carter or Hunter at two, or trade down. And, you know, they already have a dominant defensive end. If you want to talk about needs and the fact that Hunter can play, can, I think, have a big impact on both sides of the ball. As you're trying to rebuild this roster with young, big-time talent, you need playmakers. He's certainly a playmaker. So I think there's a lot of reasons for the Browns to be seriously interested in Travis Hunter at number two.
Well, Scott Petrak from the Chronicle Telegram, BrownZone.com, where you can read all of Scott's coverage of the Browns. Just moments ago here on Baskin and Phelps, without the Baskin, but with Jake Volnick in for Andy today. Chip just sent me this email. Jake, you ready?
I'm ready.
Is this kind of like there are only a couple of girls left in the bar at closing time and you're just trying to pick the prettiest of the two?
I don't think so.
I don't either. Because I think Travis Hunter is a different type of player than that. I would worry about Chip's thought with Sanders at quarterback. Because it's like, well, okay, this is the only one left, so I guess we should take him there. But again, if he answers the question, who's your quarterback for the next 7 years, who cares? You know?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a real concern for people just because everything that we've heard about the quarterback class, that it's not that great. You have to be concerned about it. If you fall in love with the kid at two and you really actually like him, which you'll never know the true answer to, but if you do and you take him at two and, yeah, he answers the question whether or not this team's going to be afloat at the quarterback position, then it really wouldn't make a difference. Unless, obviously, Travis Hunter, you passed on him and he turned into a Odell and Denzel Ward all wrapped up into one playing both sides of the ball. Then you might be like, maybe not the best pick by us.
Is there one guy that you think could be the biggest risk of, oh my God, we passed on that guy? Out of Carter, out of Hunter, out of Sanders?
It's Travis Hunter, and it's not even close.
You think so?
Like, just because he could be a guy that you look at and go, yeah, he's a pretty good wide receiver in the NFL, and that's all he is. You know, he could be a top whatever guy, and maybe a wide receiver one, maybe a wide receiver two. That could be the way that he pans out. I doubt it. Or you could be looking at, again, the guy that's a stud on both sides of the ball, the one player that is basically doing something that we've seen seldom times in the NFL and actually providing meaningful snaps on both sides of the ball and being a one-of-one guy. That's the guy that you go, yeah, probably shouldn't have let him go.
See, I think it's Sanders. And I say it for this reason only. Your thought on Hunter, I think, is absolutely on the money. I think that's absolutely right. But what if Sanders turns out to be better than a lot of the hype about him? And what if he turns out to be even a top 10 quarterback in the NFL? If he's in that conversation, oh my God, and you don't get him, you've messed up.
Yeah,
for an organization that has been looking for a quarterback since Bernie, you've messed up.
And we're talking, and that's my number. That's the guy that I want you to go out and get, right? At two, I would like you to get Shedeur Sanders. If I had my
pick. If he can play.
Right. I mean, that has to be your guy.
Right.
And if it is, by all means, take him at two. Again, it's who I'd prefer. I'd like you to figure out the quarterback spot. I've watched him. I think I have him higher than Cam Ward when I watched the two.
Did you?
Yeah.
I thought, liked Cam Ward better.
I thought Cam Ward provided more with his legs. I thought that
Cam Ward looked like a young Brett Favre.
That's interesting. Brett Favre also comes with the idea that probably going to turn the ball over a lot, which could be Cam Ward, but really good with his legs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot there.
Young Brett could move.
I thought talent-wise in ceiling, that Cam Ward had a slight edge, but when you talked about the Browns, I thought it was a home run, no doubt. Shedeur Sanders was the better quarterback for you.
You know, I honestly, what you just said about Sanders, I so want them to draft Shedeur Sanders for this reason and this reason only. They're not going to take him unless they think he's going to be really good. And if they think he's going to be really good, then you have to take him there. And if you think he's going to be really good and you go for a wide receiver corner hybrid guy, even if he ends up in the Hall of Fame, and you passed up a really good quarterback, you probably made a mistake because you need a quarterback and you have to have one, not just now, but beyond. So I wish that Sanders would just wow them and knock their socks off. To answer the most pressing question on this team, it's a question, it's a need, and you don't win without these guys. So, you know, in theory, you want that to happen. I do.
Yeah.
I want that guy to be clear to them. This is our quarterback, done. If it's not, that's where it gets really interesting. Todd is in Ward 1. Hello, Todd.
What's going on, Todd?
Buddy.
Hello, Jeff. Hello, Dan. Jake, look at you going to work in daylight.
Yeah, it's kind of wild. I'm
about
still
that,
asleep.
Huh?
Jake was like, what is that? It's the sun, Jake. The sun.
Hey, I see that on my drive-in, Todd, all right? The times have changed. I can see the sunset on my way in.
All right, Jeff, this question is for you because I'm really not with getting Travis Hunter, however great I accept that he is, and I do. Do you see any similarities between Milroe and Josh Allen, who you were screaming to the roof for, that makes you think that, well, maybe Milroe would be okay?
Because no.
My opinion has changed.
You know who Nothing? You know, when I watched Milroe, Todd,
uh-huh.
It screamed Jalen Hurts to me. Because he's got a running back body. Watching Milroe run, he's awesome. He's really good running the football. And I watched in the tape I watched on Milroe, I thought, oh, thank God you didn't get your receiver killed on that one. Oh, wait a minute. Your receiver's head is still attached to his shoulders after that one. That's really good. He did not put the ball. And you know, I've said, I like to watch highlights of a guy doing things well. All right, I'm not going to break down why he did things poorly. I can see what he did well, and I that's kind of the way my mind works on this. Oh, my God, Todd, he put his receivers in such bad spots. It was unbelievable. He didn't hit anybody in stride, and this was the good stuff. He wasn't hitting guys in stride. Guys were having to go up and make plays on the ball and then come down with it and turn it into something themselves. Can you teach him to be a better quarterback than that?
Yes.
I think.
That's
I do.
Control.
Yeah, and if they don't draft a quarterback at 2 or even at 33, I'd be okay with Milroe at 33 because, God, he was so good with the ball, running the football. And I thought, if Tommy Rees can coach him up like he did at Alabama, that would be fun, Todd. It really would.
I'm in favor of it. I was against it at the beginning, but I started watching video of him, and I got a friend that really pays attention to things like this, and he's like, Josh Allen wasn't very accurate, man.
No, he wasn't.
And he's like, that guy just got a control issue. You want somebody that got that kind of power in his arm and his leg.
And he did.
And he just needs a control.
Milroe can sling it.
Yeah, Milroe, I'm in favor of Milroe now. We need too much to be messing around with Travis Hunter. Let me say this in exit because I mentioned this before. The year before the Falcons drafted Deion Sanders, the great Deion Sanders, they were 5-11. Then they went 3-13 Deion's rookie year, and then they went 5-11 the next year. They didn't have a winning season to the year that Deion raised up and went to either Frisco or Dallas. I don't remember which one he went to first. Nah, man, the same thing. The Falcons needed two offensive linemen, a defensive end, and a linebacker. That's the same thing the Browns need now. Don't take that chance just because he's great.
Todd, thanks, buddy.
Yep.
There's Todd in Ward 1. It's not a good Browns conversation unless Todd chimes in.
That's the truth.
We're going to talk more draft coming up with one of the smartest people who's ever on the show, Cynthia Freeland from the NFL Network, coming up at 1 o'clock. Last night, Cavaliers over at the Fieldhouse got whacked by the Sacramento Kings. It was 120-113. And there was a moment in the game where Kenny Atkinson, they called timeout after Donovan Mitchell came back down the floor, got tangled up with a King player and messed up his ankle, and he was down. He fell basically onto the side of the court into the seats. It was not pretty. And they had a camera on Kenny as he's walking across the court. And Jake, he looked like, oh, my God, what just happened here? Luckily, Donovan was able to get up and return to the game. Cavs are 6-6 in their last 12 games. It's not exactly the big push to the playoffs that you're looking for a team. Does this team need a big push to the playoffs? Because they've pretty much run out of time for that. There are only a few games left.
Yeah, I don't know that. I don't want to say you don't need it, because we really haven't seen what they look like in the playoffs, right? That's the dangerous part. Is
they have won 6 of their last 8, but they're 6-6 in their last 12.
And I don't want to say, like, if you needed the big push to the playoffs, and I'd be saying I'm concerned. I don't think I am. I'm looking at a team that's done things down to building the roster in a non-traditional way, in the way that the NBA is formed right now. Right? You went 2 bigs, 2 undersized guards. That wasn't orthodox. You came out of the gates basically treating every single game like it was your last, going on 15, 16, more than 3 12-game winning streaks in a season. So the orthodox would have been, okay, you know, we'll start the season like every other NBA team does, and almost a mundane, we'll rely on talent to some degree to be better than you, we'll work out the kinks, where the Cavs came with foot on the gas. And again, then the orthodox way now would be you ramp up, you get to the playoffs, things start to heat up, and you try to play your best basketball right before you get there. The Cavs have gone through where they played really hard at the beginning, and they've taken like a 2-month break now to some degree, right? Where they've won.
It's been weird, isn't it? They've been so good all season long, and there's a fear of being able to sustain that for an entire season, which they have, basically, until this last maybe 12-game stretch. And I know they've been trying to rest some guys. I know they've had some injuries as well. But it's – and I wouldn't even call it a concern. I do think it's something to keep an eye on, you know, because you're playing – you're going to be playing NBA playoff basketball, even if you're playing the 8th seed. You know, you get in then to the next series if you win that one. You know, these guys are good. And – it's tough to turn it on, turn it off. One thing last night against Sacramento, and you know, I hate to keep bringing it up, but who killed you last night? Zach LaVine killed you last night.
Yeah.
He's 6'5", and he's a good guard on the wing. He had 37 points. DeMar DeRozan killed you last night. He was really good. He had 28 points last night.
DeMar was hitting everything.
He's 6'6".
There was no stopping whatever he was
doing. You know, the only reason I bring this up is because that storyline doesn't change. When the Cavs lose, they lose to guys who have really good players out on the wing.
Yeah.
And does that mean anything come playoff series? I don't know. We'll find out. I thought it was interesting last night that DeAndre Hunter only played 22 minutes. Now, are you trying to rest DeAndre a little bit? Give him a little bit of a break? I don't know. But it's – those matchups are going to be – those matchups are going to be telling. And if a team decides we're going to try to, and the key word is try, exploit Darius Garland on the defensive end, maybe even Donovan Mitchell, who I think is a better defensive player, but can they do it? That's the question. You know, most teams weren't able to do it this year in the regular season. Can that happen in a playoff series?
Yeah, I think, but like, I look at teams that then are built in a similar way where you have a really good player on the wing, right? The Knicks, Mikal Bridges. Not playing that hot this year, but
he's good, tough though.
Yeah, individual.
He's got
player.
A track record.
Cavs have no problem with the Knicks. Zero problem. Well, I mean, even their last match.
Zero regular season.
Correct.
They've caught the Knicks at a lot of really good times.
This is also true. Yeah, I mean, you go back 2 years, it was a playoff problem. But even you look at them, it's like, and it goes to the point too of this team sort of flipping it on and off like a switch. The first half of the Knicks game they just played, the switch was off. It felt like they had nothing. Second half, which is why I think they can still do it, it was like, oh, this is a playoff team. Let's actually go to play basketball. And they blew them out of the water in the second half. A relatively healthy Knicks team outside of Jalen Brunson.
You mean outside of their best player?
Yes. I understand, but yes.
216-474-0092. This little stumble at the end of the season, 6-6 in their last 12, although 6-8 in the last 8 games, 6-2 in the last 8 games. Is it a concern, Cav fans? And why is Jake with me right now? So we're running an NCAA championship basketball game tonight that doesn't feature the Duke Blue Devils because, man, did they butcher it down the stretch. That's coming up on Baskin and Phelps.